Blog Talk Radio.
To Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 311 shows and counting. And this is great news for the animals because I'm going to keep going. Next month is the 7th year anniversary of Voices Carry for Animals at the end of June. And we're going to keep going. There was 163 shows from Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network, where I started at, and from the 164th show to the current one, I went on my own, and it has been a total success, and that's because of all of you, the former guests, the callers, the listeners, making it happen for all the animals, and a huge thank you and shout out to all of you. Because, you know, this show is going to keep going, and we're going to be there for the animals, our animal friends in need and distress. So hope you enjoy the show, everyone, and keep coming back, keep spreading the word about, you know, this radio platform where we come together and standing up and speaking out for all the animals in need and distress and taking that right foot forward. And taking action is the key to unlock the door to all changes to be made. Love to see those victories. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animal, Animal Advocates Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and that's internet podcast. And if you ever want to go back and listen to any of these shows, you're more than welcome to and share them also, because the more info and awareness gets out, prevention, safety for these animals, the better, because we are the voices for all the animals and we must be heard. So please do your part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. And that's Marty Oakley, and a big, huge shout-out to her. Help promoting this show every Thursday out there. And she has some great podcasts herself that's still going on and great hosts. Hot Topics, if you ever want to listen to her. TS Radio Network, Marty Oakley, stands up for elder abuse, guardianship abuse. There's this big list, everyone. So check her out and, you know, to see what we can do, because when we multitask, faster changes gets made out there. And Marty Oakley's out there for 13 years and counting on there. And she helped me out, give me this show started. So a big thank you to her, because making it happen, training me on everything. But I want to go ahead and go over a couple things. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. If you ever want to search for, you know, any of these shows, You can go to the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me, and go to the right-hand column and go to the search bar, put in Voices Caring for Animals, and all the links will pop up, and just press which one you listen to, and, you know, press the arrow, and then wait a minute to download, and it will play. Or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and search Voices Caring for Animals, and I'll give you that link, www.blogtalkradio.com/Voices Caring for Animals. And on the left side of the screen, you can share to other social media sites, the icons, and the crosses, all of them. So these shows really do get out there, and can't thank everyone out there that's helping out, promoting this from Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn, and these big animal pages, Stand Up for the Animals. I mean, it takes teamwork to see any victories. But I want to go ahead and welcome back these two guests that's coming on tonight. They're coming back, and I want to welcome them. It's just an honor and a pleasure to have them back on, and all the hard work and inspiring work they are doing for the horse and burros. There's these roundups that are so cruel for them, the kill pens and a horse slaughter for human consumption. It's illegal in the United States, everyone, but it contradicts itself because of taking the horses out of the United States, some of them, and send them to Canada and Mexico and other countries. This is so unfair. So we need all your voices out there. The Mustangs have been around for a very long time, along with the Burros, and we got to stand up for and let them live their freedom, which they so deserve. The Mustang horses out there, you know, they're awesome. I mean, just like all the other animals, they don't deserve to be going through what they're going through with these roundups. I've seen photos and videos, and it's sickening. And them all standing in kill pens. We got to do something about this, ladies and gentlemen, because this is too much that's going on, and it's unfair, it's cruel. So we're going to the guest tonight, Deb Mason. She's the owner and operator of Wild Mustang Community. She'll be speaking with us, and also Mandy Dickinson. She's the owner and operator of Freedom, the number 4 Horses. And they're also on Facebook and Twitter. So if you please visit their pages, see how you can help out. Because our topic tonight is going to help stop horse and burro roundups, kill pens, and horse slaughters for human consumption. So I hope you know, take some action, everyone, and we're going to lead you that way on these shows. So if you ever need to go back and try to get involved, there's going to be information how you can help out and lend your voices. All voices matter out there. Our actions matter. So please, we are strength in numbers. Ray Bittner, a.k.a. Mama Cat, that is so very true. But I'm bringing Deb Mason on. Welcome her back. Hi, Deb. How are you this evening? Welcome back to Voices Care for Animals.
Quite well. Thank you so much for having us on again. And I really wanted to bring everybody's attention to our coalition has put together a letter to President Biden seeking a moratorium on wild horse and burro gathers and removals in honor of the 1971 Free Roaming Horses and Burro Act that was done 50 years ago. We would like these roundups to halt, stop. They're being rounded up in massive numbers. They're being sent to kill pens. Because they are slipping through the systems behind our backs. While this pandemic is going on and while the prior administration had no workable Bureau of Land Management, no designated Interior Secretary, just there, it was a non-functioning area, and they were passing a path forward that is a plan, a 10-year plan, to basically clear the lands of our wild horses down to the numbers that existed at the time this 1971 Wild Horse and Burial Act was enacted. And they're going to face extinction. There are wild horse herds that have already been wiped out because they gather up so many of them, they no longer remain genetically viable. These roundups are so horrific. They chase them with helicopters for long periods of time, for miles and miles, mares with their foals, mares that are pregnant, mares that get separated from their foals and are crying for their babies, and the babies have run out of energy and they're too young and too fragile to be run that far. And once they do reach the trap pen, they get forced into corrals, which the stallions from different herds and mares from different herds and whatnot, they get all mixed up. They start fighting for their lives and for their freedom, and they're scared. And then they start getting chased to separation pens where the stallions are separated, the mares are separated, and the mares are separated from their babies. These are family units. And some of the horses try to escape, and they end up breaking their legs or breaking their neck or getting, if they're smaller, like a little foal or something, and they end up getting trampled by the stampede. They say that they euthanize those that have, you know, health issues or were injured, and they don't have any vet care or any reasonable humane treatment during these roundups. Then they're put into big trucks and they're hauled off to these holding pens that are just bare dirt, and they're basically 12 by 12 cells, and they're not used to being caged in. They're not used to being separated. Then they get forced fed a man-made diet of dried hay, which absolutely upsets their digestive system, and some of them colic, some of them founder, some of them get laminitis, and some of them become so ill that they pass away because of the drastic change of diet. All the treatment from the field to the round pens is just not humane at all. No matter what they say, there is no humane treatment of these wild horses when they're rounding them up. They call them, quote, gathers. No, they're brutal assaults on our wild horses. And for what? So they can clear the land so that livestock industry can flourish and take over the land and raise livestock for profit and ship them overseas. This is all on our tax dollar, and we don't get a say-so on it. Why? Why do people not know that there's all this money being appropriated for this horrible, gruesome program, and for what? To line the pockets of the big lobbyists, the Cattlemen's Association, and all the extractionists. For mining purposes and pipelines, and even some of the solar companies want the wild horses out of the way so they can, why can't they just assess the land, determine what is viable for wild horses and wildlife, and leave them alone, and then determine what public lands could be possibly used for livestock grazing, and monitor those lands so that when they're encroaching on other people's lands and illegally grazing, they actually are held accountable for it, where they can test the waters and look at the degradation of the forage and the pollution of the water and remove the livestock. Don't remove the wild horses. They're just like deer. They can manage themselves for the most part. They won't reproduce more than the land will allow them if they cows and sheep wouldn't encroach on their area. I really believe that the 1971 Wild Horse and Burro Act has been violated by not only our organization and the government, but the livestock organizations, and they're never held accountable for it. Even like the Bundys, they violated it armed, and our Bureau of Land Management backed off, and then that just gave them a sense of entitlement and gave them a sense of maybe that, hey, I can stand up to this government, and they're going to do nothing about it. I'm going to trample all over this public land, and nobody's going to do a darn thing. Just as long as I give enough money to the right campaign and elect the right people, and everybody else is going to get squashed, and our voices for these wild horses are being squashed. And we would like everybody to go to Twitter. You can do the @ Freedom for Horses or the @ Mustang Rehab on Twitter. Also, you can search Freedom for Horses on Facebook and Wild Mustang Community on Facebook. There is a letter that you as an individual can sign and let your voice be heard. And let us know what you think about this program. Let us know if you've ever heard about this before. Tell your friends and let's get on board before more horses are harmed and sold through auction to the kill pens and to horse slaughter and get shipped across the borders. And they even get shipped on airplanes. They get boxed in and crated in, live crated and shipped on airplanes, go to Japan. I can't imagine a horse being bolted to a floor of a crate and have a crate be built around them. And besides, they have sensitive hearing. You know how bad it is when you're flying the airplane, in an airplane that pitch. Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many things that is wrong with this program. And why should our taxpayers pay for this abuse and this unnecessary thing so that cattle associations and extractionists can make money on our public land when we only keep maybe 3% of the meat or beef on our dinner plate? The rest gets exported. In 2019, a big trade deal was signed by the previous administration to increase that export. And the reason why they had to put so many animals down during the pandemic was because most shipments were canceled. It wasn't because our governor shut down our operations. It's because we don't have the capacity to slaughter all these animals that were normally live shipped across the border. It's cheaper to slaughter things in Mexico and Canada, or even to live ship them on freight over to different countries. So that's the reason why they put all those animals down during the pandemic. It wasn't our governor shutting down our livelihood as they tried to push it off on us. So it's just horrific that they didn't try to find maybe food banks or something for these animals to at least benefit people that are going hungry or homeless. And instead, it's their own selfishness and their greed. They only think about themselves. They don't think like a human being should think at all.
Mm.
and
this is
I know
terrible,
I have a lot
them.
To say. Sorry, just babbling. It just angers me so badly that people just don't realize this is going on. It's all behind the scenes.
Whoa. And you would think, you know, the Mustang cars were named after the Mustang horses. And I wish that Ford would somehow get involved, you know, in commercials or whatever, to help support them, you know, help support these must-want horses and burros.
Right.
You know, get involved. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Remember,
so,
wow.
I don't know if, I'm not sure if Mandy got to be on yet. Is she on, did she get to call in?
I haven't seen her call in, and we got a packed house.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to come in, but I've sent her, you know, messages through Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, something must have come because she's one of the most dedicated, knowledgeable horse advocates that I know. I knew her personally when she lived in Ohio in our area, and she moved out a state. But if you look on her page, you will see a pinned tweet where you as a citizen, you as a company, can sign on to this letter and read through it. Previous to this letter to Biden, we reached out to Secretary of Interior, Deb Haaland, and we were asking her to look into this and to find a humane resolve to this program and to review it and maybe have some oversight on the appropriations of funds. And we really didn't get the response that we had hoped because she had said in a live interview that she was aligned with the prior administration's program, and which again, it's just massive roundups and not holding the livestock industry accountable, their damage and their use of the public lands. There are different areas, and there are HMAs, and there are herd management areas. So the wild horses have to share land with the livestock, either it be cattle or sheep. The Bureau of Land Management will state an arbitrary number that this place can sustain this much grazing from cattle and this much from wild horses. The thing about it is it's not fairly divvied up. In some places, you might find one wild horse to 1,000 acres, and you'll find 50 cattle to 1,000 acres. It's not divvied up fairly. Or some, you know, it might be as low as one wild horse per 1,000 acres to 35 livestock to 1,000 acres. It just depends on the area. They haven't done any studies or assessments of the grazing areas or determine who is actually harming the forage. They want to blame it and use the wild horses and burros as the scapegoat. But if you're grazing more cattle than the United States needs, if you're only keeping 3% for our dinner table and you're exporting the rest, what do you think? The livestock industry is taking advantage of us, and that's going to cause them to want more because You know, that old saying, give them an inch, you take a mile. Well, they're taking miles and miles and miles of horse-designated HMAs. And we would like these HMAs just to be designated to all wildlife, not only the wild horses, but all of our wildlife. And the other public lands that aren't designated through the Wild Horse and Rural Act, definitely monitor that, because we also have to monitor climate change and the destruction and pollution of our natural waterways and our watersheds. Some people don't realize cows like to hang around the water areas, and that would be, the watersheds are the part that leads down to a creek or a river or a body of water, and they trample it. It erodes, it degrades, and their excrement then seeps into the waterways and actually pollutes it. So, and cow manure and that can cause harmful bacteria to pollute the water, which some farmers may be sprinkling their spinach crop with it. And, oh, my gosh, now you got a recall on salad bags. That's one source of E. coli. And besides, horses and cows chew differently. Horses nibble and kind of break off the grass, almost like cutting like a lawnmower. And they leave the root system intact. And they're more of a roaming animal, like the deer. They have a certain territory, and they roam as they eat, so they don't degrade one certain area. Cows like to pull it out by the roots, and they eat, and they have four different chambers in their stomach. They digest their food and while they're chewing their cud, and they'll destroy an area before they'll move on to another area. And then when they have their cow pies, it's just a big blob, and it actually destroys whatever plant it lands upon it, because it smothers it, and it can't, and the content of it is toxic to the plant, and the plant underneath it dies. Horses, on the other hand, they don't fully digest their food. When they leave their piles, it's actually got seeds in it, and it actually degrades, and it actually provides a fertilized area, and it spreads the area natural foliage around by replanting those seeds and sprouting the next spring. It only takes a winter for horse manure to break down and be good for fertilizer. So those seeds are all ready to sprout up the next spring. And horses also like, if they're going from one area to another, they're like deer also. They have like a given beaten path. They won't just go in the middle and trample all over everything. They kind of go in a path from one area to other, not to destroy big areas as they're traveling from their different territories to eat. They do like to stay a little bit towards where their water source is, where they're not water known sources. And that's the other problem we have with the livestock, because sometimes, and a lot of times, even on public lands, the cattle are fenced in. And some of the natural waterways and forage are fenced off, and the horses can no longer enter that area that they had been entering for ages, and that their instincts tell them that's where the water is. So some of those pictures where you see horses starving or dehydrating may be because they have no other way out, because they're fenced in by these uncaring people, and they're leaving them there to starve or dehydrate because they're blocking them off from their natural sources.
This is so it's mind-blowing. Why don't they leave the animals alone? They always got to be picking at them or something. I mean, where's their animal rights at? Is it just been kicked to the curb and just ignored? I mean, this is so cruel what's going on. Wow.
Basically, because wild horses aren't really put in any type of category that the laws allow for criminal prosecution for violating this. And because it's a government program and they contract them, are they going to charge their contractors with animal cruelty that we pay to round up these horses?
Whoa. This is so injustice. I mean, all the way. I mean, we the people need to step up to the plate, everyone, and get this stopped. Animal cruelty is animal cruelty. There's no way around it. I mean, it's right in front of our eyes. And what we allow is what going to continue. And it's taxpayers' money that's taking care of it. So do you accept that? Or do you disapprove of it and going to do something? I disapprove of it 100%. These wild horse and burros, they need to be left alone and live in peace and comfort. You know, so please take that action, everyone. I mean, we got to get stronger, because the more of us that come together. And a big shout out to all the animal rights activists and advocates and animal lovers, because without all of us, can you imagine what this world would really be like for them? So all the hard work, we cannot give up, because if we give up, we automatically lose. And I'm not going to give up, you know.
Right. And you know, it's a very, very hard thing, because we get discouraged so many times, because it's like we're screaming at the top of our lungs until we go hoarse and we just get shot down. We get ignored. And this is another thing, is that there are, I think I can't remember if it's the animal wellness action, or there's scorecards.
Yes.
On how our representatives vote on things. And the thing about it is that I didn't realize is, so something has to start in the house. You got to get somebody to sponsor it and introduce it. Then you got to get so many co-sponsors of that bill. And then it's got to be presented to the House floor, and it's got to be voted on. And then once that passes, then it goes to the Senate. And the House Majority Leader can pick and choose what he or she wants to bring to the floor for a vote. The problem with the SAFE Act, which is the one that's trying to reintroduce right now about the horse slaughter issue, is that's been we've been trying and trying for 20 years to get that to the House, to the Senate floor for a vote. We get all the co-sponsors, we get all the momentum, it gets up to the House floor, and the Senate floor, they never bring it to the floor for a vote. how can our representatives and our House and Senate speakers choose what to pass and what not to pass? How can they choose to ignore something and not even vote on it after and not listen to our voices? How can they do that?
I don't see how they can. I mean, it's so wrong. You know, what we're putting in there, you know, they have to listen to us. They represent us and what we want. We vote them in and we vote them out. You know, so everyone do, you know, get a hold of your representatives, please, and tell them to please get involved against these roundups, the kill pens, and the horse slaughter. And that's going out of the United States to other countries. It's not right. We're the horses of voices and burros.
Right. The big thing is we need them to address the overpopulation of the livestock on our public lands. It's not the wild horses. It's the livestock. And they won't even whisper that to their lips that the livestock's the problem, because it's causing, it would cause them to lose money if we would kick any of their livestock off of our public land. So it's a dirty word, and it's something that even our representatives are afraid to approach, because they're afraid that they're going to kick somebody off and they won't contribute to their campaign for reelection. It's just like, it's the lobbyists, and which we know that's just a fine name for, I think, bribery. Okay, I'll give you some money for your campaign. Why don't you put this in the bill and ignore that?
Yep, it's
Why don't we
wrong.
Get the line item? Yeah. If they don't listen to them. I've talked to my senators. I've went to political meetings. I've emailed. I've called. I've written. I've come in person. And once I start talking about this issue, they ask. They literally will cut me off and walk in the other direction.
Whoa, this is not good. I mean, that to ignore it, you know, we're supposed to get rid of corruption, not accept it, or greed. You know, Deb, there's so many greed bullies in this world and control freaks that it's unbelievable, okay? And we have to fight against that. I mean, to be ignored, and everyone out there, your voice matters. Take that action, because I've heard many people tell me, oh, they don't care. It's all about money. It's profit before people, profit before animals. I mean, you hear everything out there. That's not good. You know, we're supposed to, the horses, the humans, all the other animals, we're all on this earth temporarily. And we got to make the best of it. I mean, we're into the 21st century, heading for the 22nd century. How does it look? Well, there's been a lot of, you know, victories, but some of them have, the problems have rolled over from the 20th century, okay? And they need to be put in the spotlight and focused on and fixed. Because, Deb, every hour that animal suffers, because they feel pain like we do. They all have hearts. They have families. They, you know, every minute of the day of more suffering, or, you know, the days, the months,
yep.
And it keeps going.
You know, myself, and I have 2 Mustangs here on my farm, and then I have 4 that I have to board, and they were saved from the kill pen. Some of them are turning around really good, and my one boy out there, they call him my big dog, because he's just as playful, just as affectionate as your companion dog in your house. They have such personalities, and he's a little stubborn little thing sometimes too, but he cracks me up. I mean, he's always messing with my hats, or If I get a new, jacket or something like that, and she'll start snorting at me like, that doesn't smell like you. Like, what are you trying to do to me? and he knows the routine and everything. Like, he's just one lovable big dog. And then I have another one here that she was so traumatized by the Roundup. It took me over a year just to touch her. And then through the years, I've been able to touch her, and I've been able to pet her. I've been able to groom her a little bit. But when the blacksmith and the farrier comes, she has to be sedated because she's so traumatized. And even sedated, she shakes the whole time. She's scared of men. She's absolutely scared of men. She likes women and little children. She don't trust anybody else. And I don't think people realize also that when you adopt these wild horses, you might get one that adapts well, or you might want get one that was traumatized so badly, I don't think she'll ever be truly better. And those are the adoption sales. So once the horse is sold and entitled, they lose their protection. So, or if a horse is offered for auction through the Bureau of Land Management and nobody bids on them for three auctions, then they are sold at a big auction, and they can be sold for the least amount of money, like $25 a piece. And a lot of the kill buyers buy up. And then they take them to the bigger auctions where they're featured. Save this horse, else it's going to go to slaughter. And people pay big money for this horse to save it from slaughter. And sometimes like $700, $800, $900 just for the horse and 30 days of quarantine. And then they get them home and they find out, I just bought a wild animal that kicks and bites and I don't know how to handle it. So they go back to the auction house. I've seen them recycle back in where the person can't handle them. It'd be like saying, okay, we got too many wolves out there. Why don't we just adopt them out to the public and have them make house pets out of them? It doesn't work out that way. I mean, you hear of occasions where, people have brought up wolf pups or whatever, or another wild animal, but you never really truly will take the wild out of a wild animal. They still are wild. You're not going to make a pet out of a polar bear or any of those, or a wild elk or a deer. You're not even allowed to make a pet out of wild animals, or she could get criminally charged. Why do they think it's all right to make pets, or say you can make pets out of wild horses? I don't understand.
Whoa. You got some issues here, and I'm on this radio platform, Deb. I've seen issues coming from all angles from the animals. And if, there's millions of people out there in this United States of America, so once we come together as one voice and take action, everyone, contact your legislators. Get to know them, please. And, just area code 202-224-3121. And you'll ask for your zip code during business hours, and either connect with your state rep or your senator. And after hours and weekends, you can still call and leave a voicemail. So get involved and stay involved, please. These animals need us from every angle. And they can't call this radio platform and tell them how they feel, or the police, or make a report. So, out there, let's keep it up, because if we stop and quit, we automatically lose. So we don't want that to happen. And we got a call in here, Deb, okay?
Okay, great. Let's
area code 719. You're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for Deb Mason? Go right ahead.
Hi, Deb. This is Ray Bittner calling in.
Hey, there's
Hi,
Mama Cat. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you ladies doing tonight?
You got Deb and Deb. You got two Debs, okay?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Two of you.
Double Debs.
Yep. Double
Hey,
Deb.
Hey, Deb. I have a question. I'm a little
okay.
I'm a little naive, but I do TNR with cats. A lot of. Now, I know that years back, they had a sterilization. Barbaric and horrifying. I'm not going to get into that, but isn't there, I mean, wouldn't it be feasible instead of taking these helicopters and shooting to kill these horses or round them up, how about darting them, having sterilized, release them right back to start to control the numbers? Maybe we can get a grip on this so everybody stops killing the damn things.
Well, first of all, there are some programs that for fertility control, and some of it is being done, but the Bureau of Land Management isn't interested in appropriating funds for fertilization program. They have money in the budget that they could use for that, but in 2020, they didn't implement any fertilization programs. They did straight out Roundup. It's up to them to determine what they think is best for each area, and they deem everything an emergency so they can round them up by helicopter, and it's not an emergency. What they need to do is assess the areas, get the livestock out of there, and then start working on a plan for appropriate management level of these horses. And if they do need to round them up, why don't they round up some of the younger horses that might be more adaptable to domestic life, that may have a life at and may be trainable, and do it humanely, not with a helicopter. Helicopters were supposed to be used for emergency, and now the Bureau of Land Management uses it for every roundup. There are different ways.
Have you ever seen a roundup actually happening?
Yeah, and it's horrific.
So am I. Horrific, yep. Yeah.
It is horrific. And little tiny foals have basically gel feet when they're first born. Their hooves do not harden. And I don't know how long it takes for their hooves to harden. But some of those baby horses have run their hooves off raw being chased by that helicopter. And then they say they humanely put them down. They shoot them in the field. So
yeah.
What is humane about running that baby and mare down? Why wouldn't you leave that baby and mare down where they're at and quit chasing it till it runs its feet out? Why could you say you can gather 984 horses out of this one area and you got a mare and foal that is just a brand new foal? Why would you even chase that one and make it conform and go into the trap? That's somebody that is not even, doesn't even have a heart. They run horses till they abort their fetuses, and they're running and chasing them as the fetus is falling out of them. I've seen videos of that too.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
There's got to be a better way, because you know, the thing is nobody's going to go up against the cattle industry.
that's the whole thing. The cattle industry is a big steel curtain, and it's a bunch of people that feel that they're entitled to this land. They've got a lot of money in their pocket to contribute to campaigns, and they have a lot of influence to hire lobbyists to get their language into the Department of Agriculture, into the appropriations, into all kinds of different laws and regulations. In fact, I don't know if it's the same in any state, but you can't film in a farm here in Ohio. You can't even film because they passed a law that was against the law to investigate and film in a private farm, because they were sending in employees and filming and watching the horror that goes on in factory farms and reporting it. And then they said, oh, no more. You can't do that. You can't catch us doing this bad stuff. If they can do this bad stuff behind four walls of a barn and pass legislation to protect that, that's exactly what they're doing with the wild horses. They have no heart. They have mercy. They have no feelings for these living animals. All they're thinking about is how much money are they going to make. So that's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's the cattle industry is so big that it doesn't have a chance. And that bill you were talking about is the ag gag bill. A lot of states passed it. A lot of western states did, too.
And so, I mean, there's a lot of people employed in this, because 50% of the grain that is produced to raise livestock, chickens, sheep, cattle, whatever. So that's the farmer's income right there, is to raise, you know, livestock for slaughter and human consumption. So, and plus about 50% of our water is used to water this livestock. And I don't know how much of it is contaminated. So, and the way that goes on.
Maybe another angle to come at this would be in adding the cattle to the invasive species list. Because cattle is an invasive species. They're not from here.
I know. And there's wild cattle out there, by the way, that need rounded up. But no, there is still, because there's some cattle that have gotten away, or there has been people that have had their leases revoked, and they just left their cattle there and said, heck with that. And there's also been people that have been threatened within the interior if they rounded them up with a helicopter, see what happens, basically. So they won't round the feral cattle up with a helicopter, but they want to call the wild horses feral. And they've labeled that to them for a long time. And that they're the invasive species, but you won't hear them speak anything bad about their cattle or their sheep.
But, you know, that's always another angle can be approached. But, you know, they added the cat. First they added feral cat, but then they removed feral, and just the cat is on the top 50 invasive species in North America. So, you know, that could be another angle that could be approached, adding the cattle to it, because they are not, you know, not naturally from here.
Right. We've approached all those angles, and nobody wants to listen to us. They ignore us. So just please sign that letter to Biden. everybody register to vote. Everybody call their senators. Write them physical letters. Respond to their stuff, their social media pages. Share it all over the place. These elites and these people that feel they're entitled to destroy our public lands and destroy our heritage and destroy the viability of our Mustang herds have no heart and no soul. They just want to make money. And we need to speak up, because once we speak up, if we're the majority that are voting, we'll have some leverage to vote them out. Not until we all get going and register to vote and vote these people out and vote people that actually care about our environment, care about our future, care about our wild animals, care about even our wildflowers and natural forage and things along that line. Horses also help eat the dry grasses. They call them fuel grasses. And because of the massive wildfires in California, do you know if they would have kept more wild horses and not put cattle on those lands, that they would have went up there and cleared some of them wild grasses? They sweep the forest floor for you. And they're just like deer. They eat the dry grasses. And even deer are scarce in California because of the overgrazing by the cattle industry.
Yep. Yep.
So,
you know, in a lot of states like Colorado, we get these people with goats. And they come in with 300, 400, 500 goats, let them go in an area to take dry grass.
Right.
And it's, you know, for fire mitigation. So if they just leave the damn horses alone, they would be doing that. Cows don't eat that.
Right.
Yeah. And ladies, we're down to a couple minutes here. Ray Bittner, thank you for calling in, a.k.a. Mama Cat, and all you do, you multitask and you know, big supporter of the show. A former guest too, Deb. She was on her Community Cats United, former. She's got over 125 stray cats and colonies that she helps out and feeds, and her grandkids help her. I think it's awesome, you know, so out there making a positive impact, you know. So thank you, Ray, and thank you, Deb, for coming on this evening. I'm looking forward to having you back on again. I've tried to get hold of Mandy, but well, I'm going to have you both on again, okay? I'm sure something came up. That she couldn't make it. Yeah, but I'll definitely have you both on again. And everyone, thank you for all tuning in this evening. Next week, we're going to welcome back Grace Hamlin of the W Underdogs and what they do, making a positive impact. I wish they was worldwide out there helping the animals out. But anyway, hope you tune in next week. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. And please contact your legislators. Let them know how you feel. We are the voices for the animals and the Mustang, the burros, all of them. Let's see better lives and futures for all of them. And it takes all of us to get involved and take that right step in the right direction to take that action. You know, let's see the victories and do the victory dances and happy dances. And most of all, the animals thank us because their lives change for the better, their lives and futures. They just can't tell us. But keep it up, you know, keep spreading the word about these shows. And let's, you know, let's keep doing it. You know, we are in it to win it, not lose it for the animals, okay? So thank you for tuning in. And Deb, looking forward to talking to you again. And please visit the Freedom for Horses on Facebook and Twitter, and also on the Wild Mustang community on both, okay? So see how you can help out. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, and hope you tune in next week, and may God bless you all. Have a nice and peaceful evening. Paw in hand,
bless
united
you.
We stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. I'm looking forward to next week.
Bye, ladies.
Bye, ladies. Have a big hug to you. Thanks for all the animals.